Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Fingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL Nation reporter, Titans reporter, I should say, Teron Davenport. Teron, we played Brian Callahan's news conference. You were there, obviously. Although Brian Callahan did not commit to a quarterback, it felt like reading between the lines a little bit, especially the comment about players needing to be held to the same standard and players in the locker room wanting to win. It felt like that was, as I called it, an indirect endorsement, perhaps, of Mason Rudolph. What was your read on Callahan's answers about that subject during his news conference?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it was an endorsement on Mason Rudolph or not. That's why I asked those series of questions, because it almost seemed like initially when he was asked what would be the benefit of going to Rudolph, it seemed like he was saying it would show guys are held accountable, that everyone's held accountable, and it also would show the rest of the locker room that they were being given a chance to win. And that's why I asked it, because I wanted to clarify that that's what he said. And when I did ask those questions, it was a little bit of a different story, because to me, if that's the benefit, then you have to do it. And I don't think that a conversation is even had about it. So it is cloudy right now. I'm not sure exactly, you know, where he is, but I mean, we'll see on Wednesday, Thursday, later this week.
You're in that locker room multiple times a week. You have good relationships with these players. I know that when the cameras are on, the microphones are on, they're going to be political, so to speak, politicians. They're going to make sure that they say the right things. They don't say anything that's going to cause headaches or headlines. But knowing these players as you do, Teron, as you talk to them on background, as you chat with them, how are they feeling about this quarterback situation? Because Derek has said many times that if the Titans keep going back to Will Levis, despite the issues that he's had, there is a danger that there are players in the locker room that you could lose if you continue to commit to Will Levis. So what is your read on the locker room in all of this?
You know, one thing that I've found is that these guys are really good at doing their own laundry. They're not going to try to get involved in anyone else's details or things like that. But what's interesting is when you talk to the guys, they have an understanding of how difficult the quarterback position is. And they just, there seems to be something that Will Levis has that they are holding on to. So I wouldn't say that anyone in the locker room, at least that I've talked to, is turning or anything like that. They're just kind of running their own race, and that's pretty much been what it has. Especially yesterday talking to some of them, you know, they're just like, well, you know, I got my own job to do. I'm focused on that, and that's really what they're looking for. And that whole putting good play on film the rest of the season, that's been the mindset.
Now, Teron, I know the question was asked. I don't know if you asked it or someone right after you about have they spoken with Amy, because, you know, it was coming up, well, what are you going to do with the coach? I mean, not the coach, but the quarterback. And ultimately, is that a decision you can make solely on your own, or do you have to go with Amy? His answer did allude to there's a possibility they have talked or will talk. But what sense did you get? Do you believe they have talked to Amy about potentially benching Will Levis for the remainder of the season? Or do you think that's a decision that ultimately comes maybe this week or next week in regards to them talking to Amy about Will Levis?
I think that conversation is going to be today. Just the possibility. I know, you know, Brian Callahan has his weekly call with Amy, and so I think that's kind of how that's going to go. And it's only right to at least keep her, you know, in the know of what's going on. But I think that's more going to be a conversation that, you know, Rand's going to have a part of. I think Nick Holtz will be involved in that conversation, as well as Bo Hardigree. You know, so all of those will have that conversation together. And I think that's where the decision will come.
Now, I was listening to Joe and Robbie this morning. I think Robbie asked, I think it was Robbie that asked Joe, how do you talk to Miss Amy in regards to, once the season's over with, how do you convince her that, you know, she should continue with the regime that she has now, whether it be the GM president or GM president and head coach? What are some things that all three of them can point to in regards to the reasons why they should keep their job? Because I'm sure the quarterback isn't one of those things they can point to.
Yeah, I think it's just the foundation being poured. That's the main thing, is just establishing the understanding that, okay, look, this has not been acceptable, fully understood. It's year one in our collaboration together. I don't want to use the – in our teamwork together, like in our coming together, you know, it's year one in that, and – there are some positive things, and I think you can point to, I mean, look, like the special teams unit, you know, the coverage, they're leading the league 619 yards return, right? But, I mean, you look at yesterday, 47 return yards allowed. The week before, 42 allowed. So, you know, that's something. And here's the thing. I mean, these are small things that we're bringing up, and just say, look, man, you got to win. You know, you have to win. But, okay, what kind of small things – are possible that could add up to more wins? You know, you look at the turnovers, getting three yesterday and three, or maybe four. I think it was four yesterday and three the previous.
If you count the fumble at the 1 yard line, that was the fourth, but that is a turnover, right?
Yeah, well, whatever. The concept is that they've gotten more turnovers, right, you know, over the last 2 weeks. So, you know, that's another positive that you could point to. And unfortunately, right now, you know, they're at a point where they're grasping at smaller things because those are the only areas. So if you have an optimistic viewpoint, that's what you could do.
We do need to do a psychological study of why the it continues to happen in college and pro football. The guy going in to the end zone and dropping the ball at the one line. You would think if one person would do it, that nobody would ever do that again. You're like, I'm never going to be that guy. But it happened.
Yeah.
It keeps happening. It's crazy. But
yeah, it's here, a mess.
Speaking of other lighter moments, it was awesome, the Tavondre Sweat play. And D-Maze pointed this out off the air, but you could take us through a TD, because it's not just the big guy gets the ball. Everybody loves that, right? But it was a great play to get the fumble recovery. And he continues to be, I don't want to say a small positive, because nothing that has to do with Meatloaf and Tavondre Sweat is small.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and I mean, he actually did a good job. He was credited with the strip, too. So Landry got the sack. He got the strip. I was just impressed, because even like right when he
but
started
talk about
to run,
the pressure
he little,
that he put.
He made a cut. He made a cut, and he made the first guy miss, and then he's running. Like, the stiff arm, and like when he turned it upfield, like, he looked like an actual running back. And then he even had the wherewithal to tempo it down a little bit and let Arden Key get in front of him and block. And I was impressed with it. And, you know, he hit 15.86 miles an hour. That's the most the fastest registered speed for a defensive ball carrier in quite some time. I think like the last 6 years or so.
I thought you were gonna say that's the fastest Meatloaf ever clocked.
I do have another stat for you. His 30-yard fumble return is the longest for a player of at least 330 pounds since at least 2000. The previous high was Haloti Ngata in 2011.
Big Haloti
had a 28-yard return. Tavondre Sweat at 30.
Listen, and D-Maze, to tell you, Haloti Ngata was a supreme athlete, man. He was a supreme athlete. It spent 2 years covering those Ravens, and it was towards the tail end of him, but man, he was definitely a supreme athlete. But I mean, like, you know, Tavondre said, I told him, I said, man, you got to make a case for Marcus Spears, big man balling. And, you know, he just said, you know, my case is I was a natural athlete. I just did what I do, and it showed my athleticism.
You know, I'm waiting now for the offensive alignment that has Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat in the backfield. Now, that would be fun. But
yeah. Well, he had a catch, a touchdown at Texas. So.
Ooh, okay.
And by the way, the player that he stiff-armed on that play, Alex Kappa, I believe it was. 6'6", 310 pounds.
And he went down. He went down the
no
fastest.
No small man that he just stiff-armed.
Oh, my gosh, he went down like it was nothing.
That was a well-placed stiff arm, too.
Ooh, it was. But, Teron, the disappointing thing about the defense, they did get the takeaways. You know that the Bengals are going to score some points, especially given the secondary issues that the Titans have. But another disappointing week, I thought, for the pass rush in that they had a left tackle that had played one play on the season. And I was hoping that this could be a chance for a matchup for Arden Key to dominate or Logan Harrell, who was in there a lot. I just didn't see the Bengals really having to stress that much of, oh, man, we've got a guy kind of like we've seen numerous times with the Titans' particular line. Go back to the Dillard era, mm-hmm. Nicholas Petit-Ferry, like, oh, man, I don't know if we can block up this play because we got a big weakness there. Either that guy's a lot better than I thought he would be, or for another week, I want to see more consistency from the pass rush.
Yeah, you definitely need to see more consistency from the pass rush. And even when they get the rush, they have to find a way to get home and finish the deal. A lot of those, you know, third down conversions, I mean, they were 9 of 12 on third, or 10 of 13 on third downs. And a lot of those came because Burrow was extending the plays. You look at the first one they had, the first touchdown, you know, he extended two. Alluded two sacks, and he threw the ball to Chase Brown, you know, who was able to get open. You can't cover for 6 minutes. You know what I mean? And
right.
That's what happened, and, you know, obviously not 6 minutes literally, but that's what happened. So, yeah, I mean, they got to find a way to not only get after more, but to finish it.
What would you say, just you saw Rudolph get in there, take the small profits, right? High completion percentage, move the ball. The situation was different because they were way behind. The Bengals were playing the scoreboard. But when you heard, well, at least my interpretation when I heard Brian Callahan say, look, we've poured all kinds of time and resources into trying to develop Will Levis. We have a standard for every position. And I saw Mason Rudolph clearly outplay Will Levis. It's a no-brainer, right? So didn't that sort of have you leaning in a direction that it's just time to move on and play the guy who played better? You've got these three interesting games. I was looking at everybody's schedule and where the Titans could pick, and Brian Callahan, he says, we got to play to win. I can't lose the locker room here. So my thought was, without saying it, he seems to really be leaning towards Rudolph. Am I wrong?
I mean, it's very possible, but again, you got to remember the situation. You know, the defensive setup is a lot different. That stuff that he was taking is stuff that was being given to him. So it's not really the same to me as the first half of the game. And, you know, when he did take a shot, like, he threw an interception. So it's almost like you're kind of like picking the lesser of two evils, you know, and the bottom line is neither one of them are guys you want to have starting long term, you know, and that's no slight on Rudolph. Mason Rudolph is what he is. Like, he's a guy that could come in, you know, and if you need him for a small stretch, boom, you could do that. But the way this small stretch that they have coming up over these next three games, like, I don't know if that's something where it's just this team is just, they're in a situation where it's just like, what do you really do? Like, it's bad right now. That's really the bottom line. Like, it's bad.
It's bad. One other question for you, and TD, I think you watched pretty closely the routine that Tony Pollard went through as they just determined whether he could play or not. He clearly is dealing with something, and as the game wore on, he wasn't in there much. how would you handle his situation? Because he is a guy that you, I think, will have on the team next year. And you've also got Tajay Spears, who sort of came to life, again, in the situation was what it was. But I finally saw that this is the player we were supposed to be seeing here all season long that's been almost invisible. How do you think the running back situation plays out, given Pollard's injury situation?
Well, I would continue to work it similarly to how it was yesterday. And for Spears, the big thing was he was hurt, you know, so you couldn't really see him as much. And even, you know, when he was out there, he was dealing with injuries and or not injuries, but, you know, nicks and things that are keeping him from being the foolish Tajay Spears he could be. So I know Callahan, he has said, you know, all along, you know, last week that the plan was to get Spears more involved. So I think that's going to be the thing they'll do going forward.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport joining us on the program as he does every Monday. Teron, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
I appreciate it. Take it easy.
Teron Davenport joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Teron had to say, and we'll take your calls and texts as well at 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.